Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Let me ask you a question right here at the top of the broadcast. Are you to be keeping yourself in the faith, or is it that God is keeping you? Which is it? What's your belief on that? You are keeping yourself, or is it that God is keeping you in the faith? Which way? Well, that's kind of a question that was at the heart of the passage that we were looking at this past Lord's Day in the congregation that I pastor, the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located out there on Traveler's Rest. Hey, by the way, I should mention that we obviously receive visitors from time to time, folks that hear the radio broadcast and then are coming out to visit us and come to the service. And some of the people that are in the congregation now that have actually joined up with us, they are there as a result of listening to the radio broadcast as well. But let me mention that we will be conducting our last service at the current facility that we have there, Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest on the corner of Blue Ridge Drive and Highway 25. This week will be our final service there. We're moving to a new location. It's just about 5 miles down the road from where we're currently at, but it's off on Mush Creek Road, and we will be moving into that new facility starting not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, which is Palm Sunday. So that will be our first service there on Mush Creek. So if you're looking for us and you want to come and visit at the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, you can now find us over there on Mush Creek, and you can shoot me an email, kttradio@gmail.com. That's kttradio@gmail.com if you want further directions on coming by to visit us. But we've been in a study of the book of Jude, and we're coming to a close. We're coming down to the final few verses in the book of Jude. There's only 25 verses in the entire chapter. It's a very brief general epistle written about God's answer to apostasy, how the believer is to live during the dark and difficult days of apostasy, which, by the way, are upon us, even now, in these last days. What the apostle warned about, what they predicted, is actually coming to pass, and we're beginning to see at least the birth pangs of this in our society and in our churches even now. So this is what we've been looking at, but most recently, this past week, the text that was under our consideration was the 21st verse of Jude, which says this: keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourself in the love of God. And so I was looking at this subject this past week and talking about keeping yourself in the love of God. That's what I basically titled the sermon. Now, let me give a little bit of background on just a couple of the context, a couple of the preceding verses, just so you have a little bit of context as to what the apostle is referring to here. In the previous week to this past Lord's Day, our study, we looked at the building up of the believers. And in that text, the wording there by the apostle was this. He said, "But beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Now, that opening part, "but beloved," that he mentions there, we see that there is a very strong contrast that is being made by the apostle. He's been describing the apostates, and he's described them in graphic detail for a number of different verses. But now he gets here to this verse, and in verse 20, and in verse 20, he now says he begins to talk to the believers, not to the unbeliever. He's not describing the unbeliever, but he is encouraging, and he is talking to the believer, and he starts that off by saying, "But, beloved," that strong contrast. The believers were not to be those that tear down and destroy the unity of the church via the embracing of false doctrine. That's how destruction among the unity of God's people begins and commences and continues, I would say, among God's people. It all centers around bringing in false doctrine. He says, but rather they were to be those that edify. And specifically, he says they are to edify themselves and they are to edify others via the proclamation and the practice of the most holy faith. Now, again, that most holy faith that he mentions there, he's talking about the preaching and teaching of that body of doctrine that was once delivered unto the saints, that set of revealed propositional truths that make up the Christian faith. Now, I stress that because so much of the Christian religion today that we see, people talk about the Christian doctrines as just some sort of a fuzzy feeling that you have. I feel saved. I feel like I'm a Christian and these types of things. Well, there's a much firmer foundation than just our emotional state at the time. And that firmer foundation is founded upon those propositional truths that make up the Christian faith. Things like the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The humanity of Christ, the virgin birth, the atonement, all of these glorious doctrines that make up the Christian faith. That's where our faith is founded upon those things. Now, using that metaphor of building the previous week to this past Lord's Day, we looked at a few things. One, we looked at the basic building principles. Most notably, Paul, who described himself as a wise master builder, the Apostle Paul, he stated, and we saw what he had said and the necessity of it, but he stated the necessity of building upon a solid foundation. And that solid foundation that he was referring to is none other than the person and work of God's Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where everything begins. That's the foundational work that is done in the life of the believer, is the understanding and the application of the person and work of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, we also saw, after that point of looking at some basic building principles, we saw that the believer building is a progressive work, that grace and faith are not static in the believer, but rather they're active elements. Somebody commenting on 2 Peter chapter 1, where it describes this active Christian life of the believer, they describe that chapter as being the rise and the progress of religion in the soul. It's a remarkable chapter, and it speaks about grace and peace being multiplied. He speaks about faith being added unto. In other words, that we are to build upon the initial work of grace in the soul. And the way that we build upon that initial work is to increase in the knowledge of the gospel. As we increase in the knowledge of God, which is revealed to us in God's word, we are better able to perceive what God has graciously wrought in us. And that knowledge that he gives to us, it's not just head knowledge. We're not just talking about academic knowledge of the Bible, but we're talking about experiential knowledge, a spiritual knowledge that not only informs, but it enlivens and it enables as well. So it's more than just, you know, a set of dry doctrinal points. These are the living word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the deep into the marrow of the believer as he's being built up. And so this is what he's referring to. That knowledge that is needed to grow in grace is found in the precious promises of God's Word. Therefore, what we concluded in our study a couple weeks ago is that it is by the daily understanding and application of God's Word that the believer is built up in the most holy faith. So via the Word, we should be then edifying ourselves and edifying others. I somewhat tongue-in-cheek said a couple weeks ago during the sermon that if somebody asks you this week what you do for a living, you know, you get that a lot, and people just striking up a conversation ask you, you know, what do you do for a living? And I said we should tell people that we are bodybuilders. We are bodybuilders for Christ. And when they look at me, they might ask the question again, really, a bodybuilder for Christ? You know, that type of thing. But that's what we're to be doing, right? We're to be building up ourselves as part of the body of Christ and building up or edifying others as well. Now, finally, last week or the previous week, we looked at building believers or believer building is a prayerful work as well. He says that we are to be praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the divine author of the most holy faith, as it is articulated in the inscripturated word, the scriptures. He illuminates our minds so that we can properly understand and apply God's word. He enables our will so that we can properly obey God's word. And therefore, we must be praying in accordance with what he has revealed to us. Now, probably some in the hyper-charismatic movement, they get to that verse and where it's talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, and they immediately say, well, see, that proves tongues. No, it doesn't. It doesn't have anything to do with tongues in that chapter. It is talking about something completely different in the context of what the apostle is talking about, and it's talking about praying in accordance with what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us in the Word of God. Now, after stating those points in this passage, we find that the apostle Jude, provides further means of persevering of the faith. And those further means that he provides is found in our text here today, where he says, after saying to build up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, he then says, keep yourselves is the first thing that he says. So I want to concentrate on that very quickly. First of all, looking under the point of keep yourself, I would say this as a heading for this point. He first speaks about the looking over of ourselves. When you look at keep yourselves in this, and I'm highlighting the second part of that, the yourselves, not the keep part yet. In this closing passage of this brief epistle, we find that both human responsibility and divine ability are taught side by side in these closing verses. If we look down just a little bit further from our text here today, our text is in 21, in verse 24, Jude says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. There is divine ability, but in verse 21 in our text, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. So human responsibility and divine ability are taught side by side in this passage, and they're taught without any hesitation, and they're taught without any explanation. And the teaching is that we are to keep ourselves, and the teaching is that we are to be kept by God, or we will be kept by God. Now, we may not be able to adequately articulate exactly how those two concepts combined together to bring about our sanctification, or as it's worded in other passages, our salvation, but we can and must simply state the two truths that are revealed to us in God's Word. The teaching in God's Word is not as the Keswick theology had it years ago. You know, there was a slogan that came out of the Keswick conferences that they had, and the slogan was this: let go and let God. That was their statement, that, you know, you didn't have to put forth any sort of effort. Now, I believe that there is some value in that statement properly applied. But the way that it was being used, or at least used later on by the followers in the Keswick movement, it really was inaccurate to the theology that we find in the scripture about both human responsibility and divine ability. Yesterday on the broadcast, I played an interview that I did with, you didn't hear it live online, but I did on Sermon Audio. I posted the interview that I did with Jerry Bridges. Jerry Bridges just went home to be with the Lord a couple of days ago. And Jerry, during our conversation, he said that when he got to these verses, like the one I'm about to read here in Philippians chapter 2, he said that he referred to these verses as being a, what was the phrase that he used? I think it was a dependent responsibility. That's it. A dependent responsibility is what he spoke about. We are responsible before God, but we are dependent upon God to enable us to do the responsibilities that he's given to us. And I said, amen. That's exactly what we find in the Word of God. We find that there is an aspect of synergism taught in our sanctification. For instance, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So we are exhorted by the apostle to work, that is, to apply ourselves to the work of sanctification. But we are enabled to do that work because God is working in us. God is doing the work, but the work that God is doing is he is enabling us to do the work of God in the sanctification of our souls, to play a role in it, right? He is, in this way, God has made us co-laborers together with him in the ongoing work of sanctification. And I like to point this out. So it's not just let go and let God. In our initial salvation, that is a monergistic work. Mono in the beginning of that, right? The mono meaning one. Like you get mono and stereo in speakers. If you're playing it in mono, the same sound, one sound is coming out of both set of speakers. But if you play it in stereo, then you've got different sounds coming out of both speakers. But here we're talking about synergism, and the synergism is there are two things working together in synergism. Well, in our initial salvation, that's heresy to say that that we are working together with God in our salvation. But in our sanctification, once we have been enabled by the Holy Spirit of God, once a new principle of life has been put in us by the Holy Spirit, we've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. God now enables us to work together with him in our sanctification, right? And now this comes out very clearly when you think about, you know, Paul saying, fight the good fight of faith. Well, who's to do the fighting? Is God to do the fighting or are you to do the fighting? Well, if you say God does the fighting, the passage doesn't make any sense. The Christian life is a life of ongoing repentance. Who's to do the repenting? Is God, or second person of the Trinity, is Christ to do the repenting or are you to do the repenting? Of course, you are to do the repenting. So there is all of these passages of Scripture that speak about that it's our responsibility to do these things, but is God working in us to do this? You know, to keep in this passage, I read the second part, we were looking at a moment ago, the second part, to keep yourselves. But the first part, to keep, it means to watch over, or to look upon attentively. It means to observe by keeping your eye upon it, to attend to it carefully. It implies, and I pointed this out in the previous week in our sermon, it implies the oversight of ourselves. that grace is active and lively in our own souls before we go ahead and start talking to others about their salvation. I had posted this past week Bob Kellerman, who's a well-known biblical counselor. He was speaking at a biblical counseling conference, and somebody posted some of the notes that he had. And he was talking about this ongoing, active, lively grace in our soul. How do we know? What are some of the questions, the interrogation that we should do of our own soul to see if this is true? So I took a couple of those and I reworded them a little bit just to make them a little bit more succinct. And I just listed a few. Here's a litmus test, you know, to ask yourself, are these things true of my life? He said this: by grace, am I growing more and more captivated by the gospel? By grace, am I learning how to live in a broken world via the wisdom of God revealed in His Word? By grace, is my understanding of the written Word increasing my adoration of the living Word? By grace, is my heart and my mind being won more and more by my growing grasp of God's love? And by grace, am I increasingly convicted by my idolatry of my own heart, loving or valuing anyone or anything more than God Himself? So those are just a couple of the interrogating questions that you would ask your own self, you know, to make sure that you are in the faith. Now, this statement here, keep yourself, it implies that we hold fast or we maintain what we have. It means to guard from loss or from injury. One of the associated words implies to guard it in such a way as to prevent it from escaping. In other words, don't lose the ground that you have gained in your sanctification walk. Don't give over a single inch of the ground that you have gained to the devil. We saw this when we studied as a congregation, Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 18. He says this: wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. There it is, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. There's the same idea as keeping yourself, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Watching means this. It means stay awake and stay alert. Watch circumspectly, the apostle says in another passage, meaning looking all around you, you know, circumference, right? Circumspectly. Looking all around you. Watch attentively. Be mindful of the situation that we are in. Listen, Christian, we are behind enemy lines. Proceed with that thought in mind. There are minefields all around us. We're not having a picnic out here in the woods or something. We're behind enemy lines here in the world. And so you have to have that mentality. It's one of the last commands that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to His disciples was, watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. Watch, again, He told them. In the book of Timothy, there's a remarkable, it's a remarkable book, I would say, that has a similar message to Jude in many of the ways. But Paul said this to Timothy in two passages, and we'll have to close with this today. But he said, I charge thee, therefore, before the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things. Again, there's that word, observe, to keep or to watch over, and to watch over it in such a way that no one will be able to spoil it or no one will be able to snatch it away. And then a few verses later in the following chapter, in chapter 6, he says this, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. That phrase there, that which is committed to thy trust, is a single word in the Greek. It's a word that is means deposit. Deposit. What he is saying is, Paul is saying to Timothy, O Timothy, keep or guard the deposit. And the deposit is defined in that book as the essential doctrinal truths of the Christian faith, exactly what Jude is speaking about. So there we see in that opening part about keeping yourself, how we reconcile those two things. Yes, we are to apply ourselves and keep ourselves, and then also we are enabled to do that because it is God who is keeping us as well. Those two things blend together in a synergistic way in order to enable us to be able to do what the apostle is saying here. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's what we need to be doing as Christians. The daily understanding and application of God's word. That's the way that we keep ourselves.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.